Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Faith in the Zone, a show about sports and faith, how the two come together and lives being touched. Right now, discover how people in sports walk in faith with host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner on 1250 AM, The Fan. 'Cause I'm just a nobody trying to tell all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus.
When Moses had stage fright and David brought a rock to a sword fight, you picked 12 outsiders nobody would have chosen and you changed the world.
Well, welcome to Faith in the Zone on 1250 AM, The Fan. As always, here the last couple of years, I am flying solo. Pastor Ken Keltner from Brookside Baptist Church would like to be with me on this one. I got to tell you, our special guest, and I need to thank an assistant coach from Simpson College. He's a guy that I've known for a while. And, you know, I have to be honest. I'm going to ask our guest. I always pronounce his last name wrong. Is it Har or Hare?
It's Har.
Mike Har. You know what? And Milwaukee, he's got a lot of Milwaukee ties here. And he's a guy that I've had on my high school football coach's show. And he keeps me updated with what's going on, where he's at, where he's coaching. And he's got quite the resume. And he recruits this area. So if you're a high school football coach or you're a high school football player and you're looking to have your son, if you're a parent of one, looking to have your son play at the next level, sit around for the next hour. And after you listen to our special guest, who is Matt Jeter, the head football coach at Simpson College in Iowa, and you want to know more about him, you call me. And I'll give you Coach Simpson's a number, way to get a hold of him. And if your son or if you're a player that's looking to play at that next level, consider Simpson College. And I know Mike Har is a good guy. And he said nothing but good things, really good things about Coach Jeter. Hey, Matt, thanks a lot for coming on today. How you doing?
I'm doing excellent. How you doing?
I'm doing good. So yeah. You're an Iowa guy, huh?
Yeah, born and raised.
But, man. You know, don't come up to Wisconsin, Coach Jeter. No, I'm just kidding. You know, I'm telling you, I can't even talk smack anymore. My Badgers are not playing very well.
I understand.
Yeah. Hey, let's. So you were born and raised in Iowa. Whereabouts in Iowa were you born?
Yeah, I was born and raised in Des Moines, and went to Des Moines Roosevelt, one of the five city schools here in Des Moines area. And then graduated in 93, bounced around a couple colleges, Iowa Central Community College for 2 years, and then I transferred to Simpson College my last 2 years and was a captain and played on two championship teams there in 96 and 97. And then I graduated in 98 in education and sports administration. I stayed around Iowa a couple years. I coached high school ball for 4 years. And I got my break in college in 2002. Spent 8 years at Drake University.
Sure.
did a lot of different things, a recruiting coordinator, a defensive coordinator, and left there in 10 and spent 6 years at Central Missouri and defensive coordinator there for 6 years. And then I finally got my break as a head coach, come back to my alma mater in 2016.
It was time to come home.
It was.
Man, do you remember when you got the call? Do you remember when you got the call that said, okay, you're the guy. Come on home.
I do. It was, I was in a good place in Missouri. Central Missouri is a D2, top 20 school, and I was having a lot of success there. And I think when I was actually in my car driving to work, and when I got the call, and, I had support from my wife, and I accepted it immediately and came into the office at 8:15 and told the head coach I just took a head job somewhere else.
Hey, what can I ask? Because I think, and you as a head coach now, I'm sure that guys have come in to tell you similar things, but what was his reaction? Was he happy for you, or was he upset that you were leaving?
You know, he didn't want me to leave, but I communicated with him the whole time through the process. So it didn't come back. He knew I was interviewing for it. He gave me support. He gave me some, some heads up on some things to think about. So, he didn't want me to leave, but he kind of understood that, I told him that, this is what I've been wanting to do for a long time. And, it finally came, after 18 years, it came to fruition.
Hey, Coach, I coached basketball at the high school level for a long time, and I was the head coach at a couple of places. I think I was a better assistant coach than I was a head coach, and I was so shocked, moving over to the left, 18 inches? But that's might as well be 400 miles. When you don't know what you don't know, and now you move over and you think, well, being a head coach is similar to being an assistant. I just got to run good stuff. And, man, there's so much more to that. And I'm sure at the college level it's times 10. But I can tell you that for me personally, I wasn't prepared. How was that first year when you got the head job at Simpson for you?
It was the same. It was a blur. It was there's no training for it, like you said. And, I'm like, I'm not going to do this. My head coach did this. I'm going to do something different. And I found myself really leaning back on a lot of the head coaches that I worked with or worked for, and it was like, I'm going to do it this way. I'm not going to do it this way. And I kind of went back to where I was comfortable with. And it was a blur. It was a big learning experience for me. And like, It was lonely. There's some nights up there I was in that chair by myself and not able to talk to anybody about what was going on or what I needed to do. So it was a lot of trial and error and learn by fire.
Well, I can tell you what, I was asked one time, because I've made that comment before. I think I was a better assistant coach than a head coach. And somebody finally called me out on it and said, why do you think that? And I said, I think the number one rule for a good assistant coach is to have the head coach's back. I don't want his job. We will argue like cats and dogs inside the coach's office, but when that door opens up, I am walking lockstep with him. This is his program. Yeah. He's the head coach. I am not ever looking to get his job. And I would still, I've been retired 2 years, and I'd still throw myself in front of a bus to save the head coach's life. I would. He's one of my best friends, and I coached with this guy a couple of different times. And, in fact, Coach, I was inducted in the Wisconsin Basketball Coaches Association Hall of Fame a couple of weeks ago up in Wisconsin Dells. And the head coach, he got inducted last year, and I was there for him, and he was here for me. And we just sat and talked about it, and I said, look, I could not have done this without you. And he said, man, I couldn't have done what I'm doing without you. And so I had hired him into a high school as my assistant and then came back twice as his assistant. And I think I'm right on this, what a good assistant coach is, correct?
You're absolutely right. I can tell you, my one year at Drake University, and congrats on the Hall of Fame induction.
Ben, thank you.
Congrats on that.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Coach. Thank you for that.
In 2007, when I was assistant at Drake, I had an opportunity. Steve Loney came in and was the interim head coach. Steve Loney spent years as an offensive coordinator at Iowa State, University of Minnesota. He was at the Vikings and Arizona Cardinals. So I had Steve Loney, Randy Ball, who was longtime assistant coach, head coach at Western Illinois and Missouri State, and then Tom Lichtenberg, who was assistant coach at Notre Dame, and he was head coach, I think, at UMass. So they told me that. It was like, you know, they was like, I had three head coaches, and I was like, I'm 27 years old. I'm just like a little sponge, you know, trying to figure out all this thing about head. But that was the best thing for me. But like you said, it's like, you know, it was like I learned how to be a good assistant. And my job was to, he's like, he told me this, Coach. He said, your job is to be the head coach of the defense. And I took that with me, and I said, okay, I'm the head coach of the defense. And I talked to my corners coach, say, you're the head coach of the corners.
Oh, man.
You're the head coach of linebackers. So just make sure that everybody has stock and ownership in what we're trying to do. And ultimately, you know, it comes back to my leadership as a defensive coordinator, but I've continued to carry that with me even now. Like, I talk to these guys as if they're the head coach of their position groups, because we all got to make this ship go. You know what I mean?
100%. And I've been on staffs where if there's and obviously high school basketball, you've got two or three, maybe four coaches in and around, but when there's one that you know that is his sole idea is he's going to be a head coach, and if it's got to be to get the head guy out, he's going to do that. So he's off in the corner talking to parents about, you know what, I wouldn't do it this way when I become a head. And then he's talking to administrators. I tell you what, Coach, that I've had 36 years of coaching, I think 5 years were with things like that, and I couldn't wait for the season to end. I couldn't wait for it to end because it just was it makes the coaching staff so dysfunctional, because there's one guy out there who, you know what he's doing, everybody sees it, but man, it's you know, you live through those years. And I've always had conversations with these guys saying, look, this is, I know what you're doing, knock it off at the end of the year, go put your stuff in anywhere you want, because you're not going to be back here. So you might as well go try to find a job someplace else. We are talking with Matt Jeter, the head football coach at Simpson College. Where in Iowa is Simpson College?
It's in Indianola, Iowa. It's about 15 miles south of Des Moines, which is the capital of Iowa.
And what division is Simpson?
We are Division III.
In what conference?
The American Rivers Conference.
And who's the team to beat every year in football in the American Rivers Conference?
There's been a few teams. Wartburg's been tough in our conference. Central College is tough in our conference. Dubuque. Those are the three teams that have won the league within the last 10 years.
I have. I've been at the stadium at Dubuque. My son played at Division III basketball college called Maranatha Baptist Bible College in Wisconsin. And there was a small Christian college in Dubuque. And I would go watch my son play. And I walked on the field there. The door was open. I just walked on the field. And it turns out the head football coach back then, that was a long time ago, was a guy that had been around for a long time with a ton of Wisconsin ties. And there were some Wisconsin kids that were playing at Dubuque at that time, and somebody walked out and said, what are you doing here? I said, you know what? My son's playing basketball in 2 hours. I'm just looking. And he said, well, who are you? And end up talking to the head coach for a little while, and he said, look, you get any Wisconsin boys that you think I want to see, make sure you call me. I never did make that call, Matt, but I might call for you. We'll see how this interview goes. We are talking to Matt Jeter. He's the head football coach at Simpson College. And Boy, it's right out of Dubuque. That's what I'm going to say. Right out of Dubuque, Division III, American Rivers Conference. And look, we're not going to shy away. They're struggling a little bit this year. And I know that that Matt's doing everything he can to turn it around. They got some bigger games coming up here. I know that the last game against Wartburg is Senior Day, and that's coming up on November 13th. Really quickly, Coach, is this a young squad you've got playing on the field this year?
It is. It's a young squad. We got probably more freshmen this year playing in any year that I've been the head football coach there. We're making progress. We're getting better each week. It's just not showing up in the win column right now.
Well, you know what? And in your profession, Coach, I'm going to be praying for you because this is a tough profession that you've chosen. And, they look at wins and losses sometimes. So I'm hoping the administration at Simpson takes a look at all these young freshmen. And then they take a look at how you're guiding these young student athletes in how to become men. And we're going to have that conversation and ask Matt Jeter for his testimony on the other side of the break. Again, he's the head football coach at Simpson College in Iowa. You can go to SimpsonAthletics.com. If you want to take a look at some of the athletics at Simpson, and if you hear some things that Coach Jeter's talking about and you think, boy, my son would fit in really well there, they do have a couple of Wisconsin kids playing and on their roster, and I'm hoping Mike gets a few more. I'm hoping Coach Jeter gets a few more because everything I've talked about and that the research I've done about Simpson College, this is a good place to be. And we'll continue our conversation with Coach Jeter on the other side of the break. This is Faith in the Zone on 1250 AM, The Fan.
More now of Faith in the Zone, discovering people in sports and their walk in faith. Faith in the Zone is brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church. Back with host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner on 1250 AM, The Fan. I'm just a nobody. Trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. When Moses had stage fright, and David brought a rock to a sword fight. You picked 12 outsiders nobody would have chosen, and you changed the world. Well, the moral of the story. Welcome back to Faith in the Zone on 1250 AM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern. Thanks a lot for joining us. Our special guest for the entire hour, he is Matt Jeter. He's the head football coach at Simpson College in Iowa. And you know what? More than that, he is a father. He is a father of Jordan and Jaden, and he is a husband to Kimberly. And I know that from talking to him off the air a little bit and talking with Mike, again, who's the assistant coach and recruits this area, and I just want to thank Mike Hart for doing that, for putting Coach Jeter and I together. Yeah, look, it's his faith, and then it's his family, and then it's Simpson College football. And Simpson College football is very important to this man. But, man, I just love the fact that he can do what he does and be able to say, look, this is who I am as a Christian man. And Coach Jeter, if we can ask you to share your testimony with us in the second segment, I'd really appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. I trusted in the Lord, I think it was in high school in like 1989. And that was my first time when I heard the gospel and the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and I trusted and believed it at that time. And then, like most of us, I felt like from in college, I felt myself kind of drift away from Christ, so to speak, and I kind of had to rededicate myself kind of late in my 20s or so. But it was about right around the time that I met my wife, and I met my wife, Kimberly, at our church, and it was just a godsend for me to meet her, who was also a believer, and we connected right away. But she kind of helped me to get back on track, so to speak, too, and we were able to do it together. But it was, you know, it's something that I hope that, you know, as a head coach and as a coach, I hope the young men and coaches see me, you know, as a coach who carries himself like that, you know, kind of wears my, you know, my faith on my sleeve, so to speak, and know what they're going to get from me, you know, day in and day out, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. But I don't hide it. I don't apologize for it. I do FCA meetings with our coaches on Thursdays. I do FCA meetings with our team on Fridays, all optional, but I want to make sure, you know, kids ain't going to leave out of here, you know, out of my program and say that they never heard, you know, I had 4 years to spend with these kids and say, well, I never, Coach Jeter never talked to me about Christ.
Yeah.
So I'm going to make sure that they have an opportunity to hear it, whether or not they accept it or not. That's up to them. But they're not going to be able to sit and say that they never heard it from me. And I just kind of always want to be a testimony to those kids too.
Amen.
And that's kind of my story, you know, kind of the short version of it. And, you know, and I was a kid too. You know, I was a knucklehead now.
Amen.
You know what I mean?
Hey, man, I'm the president of that club, Matt Jeter. If you want to be part of it, come on. But I am the president of being just a pure knucklehead.
So I needed. I needed to find Christ. And I didn't know it at the time. I do now, but I needed to find him. And I needed him to be the source of my life. And he is. And like you said, it's my faith is important to me, number one. My health is the next thing for me, because if I'm not here for my family, then I'm not doing any good. And then my family, Kimberly first, and my two boys, Jordan and Jaden. And then, you know, Simpson football and the men and people I coach, I mean, they're fourth. But I have to keep it in order that way and keep that balance, because if my faith is out of whack and my health is out of whack, how can I provide for Kimberly and Jordan and Jaden or even the team?
Right.
So it's a challenge.
And Coach, when you talk about your health, we're not just talking physically, we're talking spiritually, mentally, all of it. You know, it's all in one. And I loved when you said, look, I wear it on my sleeve. I am not ashamed. I'm not embarrassed. This is who I am. You are not going to leave my program and my campus without knowing that. We had Bobby Bowden on quite a while ago, Coach, and God rest his soul. It's funny because when I called and got a hold of him to come on the show, he said, Mike, I can't imagine we got more than 15 minutes worth of stuff to talk about. And 45 minutes, 50 minutes in, I said, Coach, we got to wrap this thing up. He goes, that's it. I got a lot more stories to tell you. And I said, Coach, I know you do, but we got nothing. And he said the exact same thing that you just said, Coach Jeter. He said, look, I can tell you that not one player walked into this locker room and did not know. They would never be able to leave this program and not know that I'm a Christian. And I'm not running from that. I'm not ashamed. I'm. That's what I lead with. And Coach, what you just said gave me goosebumps, because it's like identical to what he said. And you know what? I say amen to that. And I say well done. Thank you for that, because I think that's really important. Hey, Coach, let me ask you this: are you better at sharing that part of your life and sharing how you feel about your faith? Are you better inside the locker room with your players, or better outside the locker room with family, friends, and people you meet?
Probably better outside the locker room with that.
And the reason I ask, okay, if I can stop you for 1 second, we had a guy named Mike Lightfoot on. You know, I think all-time winningest basketball coach in Division III college basketball. He's in out of Indiana. He's a retired coach now. And he was on Faith in the Zone. He said, Mike, I was so good inside the locker room. I was really good with my players and my staff. And as soon as that door opened up, I really struggled. And I read a bunch, and I took some classes, and I struggled outside of the locker room. And then I read a book called I'm Not a Fan. And I spent an extra $3 for this rubber bracelet that came with it. And it just said, I'm not a fan. And I was in a grocery store, and a woman said, who aren't you a fan of? And she saw the bracelet, and he said, I'm not a fan of Jesus Christ. And she goes, excuse me? He said, I'm not a fan because fans sit on the sidelines. I'm a follower. Can I tell you about it? And he said, Mike, that $3 was the best three. He goes, I have 100 of those bracelets. I never leave home without it. And he said, but that really helped me. And so, you know what? It's interesting that outside of the locker room, you feel like you're better. I would bet, Coach, that if I asked some of the players, they'd say, no, he's really good in the locker room too. You know what? And maybe he's not hitting us over the head with the Bible, but we watch how he interacts. We watch him. We know he's a Christian, and we watch how he handles himself. And that for us is huge. So I would bet that Coach Jeter, if I talk to those players at Simpson, they might tell me it's something a little bit different. Hey, I believe there's a special place in heaven for coaches' wives. I do. I think all of us coaches, our wives, really, they only get the worst part of it, right? We win big games. Everybody's celebrating us. We come home, we're in a great mood, and we, you know, we stay and watch more tape and all that. And then when things are really bad, they hear about it from people in the grocery store, at the they're sitting in the stands, and then we come home and then we're crabby. So they get the worst of all this. But I thank God for Kimberly, and I thank God for my wife Terry, because man, they put up with a lot with coaches.
Yeah, they do. And I could tell you, like, this is I've been coaching a long time. I've never had a year like this. So I'm in a place I haven't been in, and season's not going good, and I, like you said, you know, my health mentally, emotionally, I was out of balance. I was totally out of whack. I wasn't there for her. I wasn't there for my boys. And she kind of snapped at me and said, hey, listen, figure it out, man up, do what you need to do and get it going. She's like, hey, you won before, you're going to win again. You're just having a tough year. Yeah. And I was just like, you know, you kind of feel like, you know, yeah, you don't want to hear it, but you needed to hear it. And I was like, well, you know what? I love you. Thank you for, you know, get your butt out of bed. You know, it's the day, you know what I mean? It's like, you know, the sun came up in the morning. Stop pouting about it. And so I really appreciate it. And like I said, her dad was a head basketball coach in Michigan at Benton Harbor for 20-something. He's in the Hall of Fame. So she's been around it, dealt with it with her mom. So, but like you said, she, when we win, it's good. And when we lose, she feels it just as bad as me. But it's good to have her as a sounding board and keep me, you know, on my toes too.
Hey, I'll tell you really quickly, then we'll get to a break. I started dating my wife the day after we graduated from high school, 1977. So I'm, you know, again, we're grandparents of all these grandsons, and I would say 6 or 7 months ago, I was doing my high school show from my office at my home. And she was off at the grocery store, and we went to a break, and I went and got the mail, and I had a package from the Wisconsin Baseball Coaches Association and a beautiful plaque that they had named me the Media Man of the Year. And I thought, wow, this is great. And then an envelope from the Wisconsin Basketball Coaches Association letting me know that I was going to be inducted. And I thought, this is the best mail ever, right? I put it on the kitchen table, Coach, and I get done with my show and my wife is there and I walk out and she goes, take out the garbage. And I go, did you see the kitchen table? She said, I did. Yeah. Take the garbage out and we'll talk about it when you get back. And I'm walking down the sidewalk, Coach, and I'm like, I can't believe that. And I walk back in and she hugs me and she kisses me on the cheek and says, I'm so proud of you, but nobody's getting a big head in my house. Right. And I went, baby, this is why, I'm telling you, this is why I love you. This is why I married you. I said, but you know, my nickname is Big Time. So can you start calling me Big Time? She goes, take out the recyclables. And I'm like, come on, man. So look, I think we both probably married up a little bit.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Man, he is Matt Jeter. He's the head football coach at Simpson College. I love his testimony. His testimonies, look, I like all of us, right? He accepts Jesus Christ early, and I love that fact, and I'm envious of him because I did not, and he did, and he's an honest Christian who says, look, I struggled. You know what? I got into college, and there are some things I'm not proud of, and then I meet this woman at church, And we get on this journey together, and it's, man, what a great story and a great example for Jordan and Jaden. And we're going to talk about this tough year he's having, because I've had a lot of them. And I might be able to give this young man a little bit of advice. Who knows? He is Matt Jeter, the head football coach at Simpson College. It's right out of Dubuque, Division III. They're in the American Rivers Conference. And look it up. Honestly, if you're a high school football family and your son is looking to play at the next level, and if he is a division, lower division two, division three, maybe division one kid, but loves what he's hearing about Simpson, look it up. And if I can get you in contact with Matt Jeter, you know how to get a hold of me here at the station, and I will get you in contact with either Mike Haar, who recruits this area, and again, thank him for putting Matt Jeter and I together for Faith in the Zone. But take a look at what they offer. First of all, go to the school, and then go to the athletic department, and look at the facilities, beautiful facilities at Simpson College. This is Faith in the Zone on 1250 AM, The Fan.
Welcome back to Faith in the Zone, an inside look at people in sports and their walk in faith. Faith in the Zone is brought to you by Bayview Shade and Blind. Here are your hosts, Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Kellner, only on 1250 AM, The Fan.
I'm just a nobody, trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus.
Well, Moses had stage fright, and David brought a rock to a sword fight. You picked 12 outsiders nobody would have chosen, and you changed the world. Well, the moral of the story is...
Welcome back to Faith in the Zone. On 1250 AM, The Fan, I'm Mike McGivern, our special guest. And I like this man. I'm a fan of his. He's the head football coach at Simpson College in Iowa. Again, right out of Dubuque, Iowa, American Rivers Conference. And, I brought it up in that first segment. He brought it up in the second segment. They're struggling right now. And, Coach, can we just go back a little bit? How did you guys survive with COVID? It looks like you played one game, and then did you guys get shut down?
Yeah. Mike, we're outside of Des Moines, not Dubuque.
Oh, I'm sorry, Des Moines. Know what, Coach? I'm really sorry. I wrote down Des Moines, and I've said Dubuque three times because we had that conversation. They are outside of Des Moines College. I apologize to that. How did you guys survive that year of trying to get through all this, keeping kids on, involved in football and involved with staying as part of, the Simpson family? Let's go back to that, and how did that work for you?
It was tough. It was one of the toughest years I've ever had coaching because, I am a guy who wants to connect with my players, and I was not able to. And I could truly believe, during that time, COVID lasted from 20 to 21, not having that connection with the kids. We lost some kids. Everything was on Zoom. Kids didn't know if we were playing, when we were playing, when we could practice. Everything was minimized in the weight room. It was just a really tough year to keep kids engaged. And then we decided as a conference to play five games in spring. And the rule was if anybody on your team got COVID, then you were shut down. Uh-huh. And we played one game after testing every week from January 15th all the way to April 10th. And we got one kid got COVID-19, and that shut us down for the rest of spring.
Coach, I don't know how you so I retired prior to that, and I don't know how you survived that without going into some kind of depression, because that had to be such a difficult thing for you not to be able to see these young men, look them in the eye, have the conversation with them, get in the weight room, let's go, we got work to do, and that must have been a very difficult year for you personally.
No, it was. Like I said, I lost You know, I'm seeing other people practice, other colleagues of mine coaching and playing. My son, I got two boys, Jordan, my oldest, he does track and show choir. But my youngest, Jaden, plays football. So I'm at his practice watching seventh graders play. And I'm just like, I can't, you know, it's just like their coaches are probably like, dude, can you not come practice anymore? You know, blowing in the whistle and whatever you're trying to do. But I was just like, you know, it was just a tough year. But, you know, we made it through the year. You know, we persevered and, you know, we got to where we are right now and playing football games again.
And so did you know coming in, you know, early on, look, yeah, when you open the year against Mary Hardin Baylor, who's a really, really solid football program, and then the Wisconsin-Stevens Point, that's another good program, and then Cohen Central Iowa. Look, September was a tough month. Did you know going in mid-August that, look, we might struggle a little bit this year?
You know, you like to say, you know, I knew I'm very optimistic, and I always look, you know, I'm a glass half full, and, you know, I'm going to win every game. And I knew Mary Hardin Baylor was going to be a tough game. You know, I spent time at FCS. I spent time at D2. You know, that program is, you know, they're a really good program, and I knew that would be a challenge. I thought we would be able to compete with the other schools early in the camp, but COVID, we still have COVID regulations in our school, and we missed some kids from week one all the way to week five. And we got a young squad, and I knew we were going to have to reset our culture and everything that we're about. And I didn't, you know, I thought we would have a little more success, you know, than we did in September. But that's like I said, we're getting better, but you know, we weren't getting the results that we wanted in the win column.
Coach, how do you, so look, you've got three games left, it looks like, and the playoffs probably are not going to be in your future. What do you hope, and when you get to practice, what are you hoping to accomplish each day with these kids? I would think getting them to make sure that they're buying in, that they're not mailing the rest of the season in, that, you know what, we're still loving on each other, we're still playing for each other, I'm sure are very important to you. But it's a difficult place, and like you said, you haven't experienced this before. And I'm wondering, have you reached out to other guys who have gone through some similar seasons like you're going now, or are you just kind of figuring this out on your own?
No, I've reached out to, you know, Steve Loney. Like I said, he's my mentor still. I talked to him. I think he's like 1 year, he was with the Cowboys. They were sitting at, you know, 1-11, 1-15. He's like, it's tough, you know, everything. You know, my AD has been a strong advocate to talk to. He's a longtime basketball coach at Drake University in Quincy in Illinois. So
sure.
He's been there too. And he's like, just keep chopping wood, man. Keep pounding the rock. You know, he said, you got to find these small victories in this. I've been there before, you know. I mean, I was coach of the year in 18, and we were 27 coming in from a conference championship and being in the playoffs. So it's like, I haven't forgotten how to coach in 2 years. You know what I mean? So
right.
It's like, you know, but it feels like it. You know what I mean? It's like, and it's just been really tough. But my message to the kids is like, you know, to keep making daily improvements and to get better every single day. And, you know, bring your lunch pail and hard hat because, you know, life's going to kick you in the teeth too. And I'm the type of guy that I'm not, you know, I'm just going to keep swinging. You know, this year, this season, and I'll be transparent with you. So this season's been tough. I lost one of my fraternity brothers and good friends to COVID.
Oh.
He passed away about 3 weeks ago. He actually introduced me to my wife, Kimberly.
Oh boy!
I had 2-3 weeks ago. You know, I was at a game and we were actually playing Lawrence College. And my oldest son went missing. He's home safe now, but I've dealt with a lot of stuff, you know, and, yeah. and when you think about all those things that I was dealing with, this game of football, you know, becomes very just kind of put on the back burner.
It does.
And when I talk to these kids, you know, I'm talking to them as men, like, hey, you know, hey, just, you know, like you said, we talked on the break, you know, hey, you know, I married Kimberly for a reason, you know, hey, if we're having a situation or having a disagreement, I'm still coming home. We're going to figure this out because divorce ain't coming up. You know what I mean? It's like, I'm not going to run because things get tough.
Yeah, 100%.
And that's where things are tough now. And this is when you need to stand up and keep swinging, keep fighting.
Hey, Coach,
that's been my message.
I hope that I hope that everything's good with Jordan. And when you talked about him before and you said, look, he's in track and he's in show choir, I'll tell you what, I've never been very fast, but I'm faster than I was a good singer. And so I have so much respect for him. I had a nun in fourth grade tell me, Mr. McGivern, never sing in public, ever. You are so tone deaf. I don't want to hear you sing, and baby Jesus doesn't want to hear you sing. I was like, hey, man, baby Jesus is everywhere. She said, exactly. So you tell Jordan that the Lord has gifted him with a voice, and I envy that. If you said, look, you could take one of those two. You can either be on track and run real fast or be able to sing, I would take the singing thing all day long. Is he doing okay? The young man doing all right?
Yeah. Good. Yeah, he's doing good. And, you know, he's just 16-year-old kids,
yep.
don't think like 16-year-old kids at times, but we're working through it. And again, we're still working through some things, but he's doing fine. He's safe, and everybody's good. But it was probably the most hopeless thing as a father to go through, because he was gone, missing off the grid. So it wasn't like I knew where it was.
How long was he gone for, Coach?
It was probably 14, 15 hours.
Oh, boy. That just, look, I got goosebumps because as a parent, I'll tell you this. My family and people listening, we will pray for you and your family. And mm-hmm. Lord's got, you know, he's got a great plan for both Jordan and Jaden, I'm sure. I wish I could tell you I was only a knucklehead when I was 16. Man, I was a knucklehead way longer than that. That's for sure. Hey, we're going to get to a break. Matt Jeter, the head football coach at Simpson College. They are just out of Des Moines, Iowa. Not Dubuque, Des Moines, Iowa. Division III American Rivers Conference. And go to their website. Look, I've been on their website a lot. And we're not going to have time to talk about this. But I'll tell you this. They should have beat Dubuque. They turn the ball over too much. I'll just tell you this. Simpson had 24 first downs. Dubuque had 15. And they lost to Dubuque 41-28. And I'm sure this starting quarterback, Brett's not wasn't feeling very good, man. He threw two touchdowns, but, man, he had five picks, and that's tough. It's tough to overcome that. We're going to get to a break. Other side, I'm going to ask Coach Jeter the question I ask everybody at the end of this show. I put all the uniforms you've ever put on in a closet. You get to pick one out. What uniform and who are you going to play against and why? And we'll find out on the other side. This is Faith in the Zone on 1250 AM, The Fan.
Back to Faith in the Zone, a journey on how people in sports walk in faith. Faith in the Zone is brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Here are hosts Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner. Only on 1250 AM, The Fan. Cause I'm just a nobody, trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus.
When Moses had stage fright, and David brought a rock to a sword fight, You picked 12 outsiders nobody would have chosen, and you changed the world. Well, the moral of the story.
Welcome back to Faith in the Zone on 1250 AM. The Fan, our special guest, Matt Jeter, head football coach at Simpson College. I yelled at him during the break. I said, man, he threw me a little curveball on that one. He said, yeah, sorry about that. But that, look, this is my life, and this is what we're talking about. And you know what? We will be praying for the Jeter family. And I think everything's going to be just fine. And I in fact, I'm sure it will be. The Lord's got a great plan for you and your wife and these kids. Coach, I love this last segment. I just do, because it's always very interesting to me. Were you a multi-sport athlete growing up?
I was. Football, track, and baseball.
You didn't play basketball? Come on, man.
I didn't.
That's all right. That's all right. Don't worry about it. I forgive you, my Christian brother. I forgive you. Hey, so if I every uniform from the time you played Pop Warner, right, and Little League Baseball, to the time you finished your career, wherever that was, you know, at Simpson College, I guess, what uniform would you pull out? What sport, what uniform, and who would you play against?
Yeah. You know, the answer, you know, folks probably would think I would pick Simpson College, because when I played there in the 96 and 97, you know, we won back-to-back championships and went to the semifinals in 97, but if I had an opportunity to pick out a uniform, I would put my baseball uniform on when I played for the Angels when I was 12, and my grandpa was my coach.
Oh.
And we would play the Phillies.
Why would you play the Phillies?
Because that was the team that we beat to win the championship.
Oh, that's awesome. Do you remember that feeling with your grandfather after you won that thing?
It was the best feeling ever. We, you know, we went undefeated. I can tell you every score of the game. Probably went 18-0, and you know, went to the state playoffs and all that stuff.
What position? What did you play in baseball?
I was a pitcher and shortstop.
So you could throw it. You could pick it. What'd you hit in the lineup? Do you remember that?
Yeah, I was leadoff hitter.
So you had some wheels, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, when I was 12, I had some wheels and I had some power. I led the league in home runs too.
Man, that's awesome.
When I was 12.
You know,
when
what?
I got in high school, I did, and I led the league in stolen bases. So,
man, good for you. You know what? Your grandfather, did he get a chance to see you play football in college?
He was there. My grandpa was he. When I talked earlier in the segment about when I was going left, my grandpa, my mom and dad, my grandpa stepped in and filled that gap and was the man that I needed to know, hey, listen, this is not how we're going to do things. This is how men do things. This is how we're going to be. This is how you're going to act. And he helped, you know, get me on the right track. And part of that was baseball. I found a love for it. I didn't even play football until high school. And I had a love for baseball, but was with him. It was actually, I was pretty good, but it was also a time for him and I to bond. And I remember that was how, you know, that helped me, you know, my grandpa filled that gap that I was missing. And then baseball helped me stay off the streets, you know, especially during the summer when I had friends doing other stuff and getting into trouble. I was playing baseball.
Do you know that? My grandpa. Your grandfather was what a real man is, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Man, he must. How long is he? Is he? He's no longer with us.
He, that's another tough. I don't want to throw you another, but that was tough. He just passed. He passed last summer.
Oh.
of prostate cancer. He's 91.
Coach, this last 12 months been rough.
Yeah, yeah.
It has been rough.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, and I'm just, you know, right now at the end of Faith in the Zone, I'm just going to close my eyes and bow my head and say, Lord, I ask you to put your hedge around this Coach Jeter and his family. Lord, he's still standing. This is a man. He's a true man. The last 12 months, everything he's been through, Lord, a lot of us would be in the fetal position, and he's not, Lord. He's still leading men. He's still leading this family and these kids over at Simpson College. And I thank you for this, man, Lord. I just thank you. And I ask you, you know, let's let him see some sunlight, man. Let's get him some wins and some fun and laughter. I can't imagine he's laughed a lot this last year. Hey, man, I can't tell you, man. This has been so good, and I thank your assistant coach, Mike Carr. Again, he recruits the Milwaukee area, and he says nothing but really good things about you, Coach. And he's not easily, you know, he's not impressed with a whole lot of things, and you know that. But, man, he just nothing but really good things about the college, about you as a man and as a football coach. And I thank you for coming on Faith in the Zone. And man, you ever need anything up in the Milwaukee area, if there's anything I can ever do for you or Mike, you want to come on my high school football coach's show to highlight and promote what you guys are doing, please just have Mike reach out to me, and you are welcome anytime. And anything I can do for you up here, please let me know.
Yeah, absolutely.
No,
thank you for having me. And I think, you know, I would just say I appreciate you having me on there. And I just think, you know, like you said, it's been a tough year, but I think that's where I still have my faith and trust.
Amen.
In Lord Jesus Christ, that he's going, you know, everything's going to work out. And he has a plan for everything. And I think that's been the thing for me over the last 12, 16 months that's kept me on the right track. When things might look dim and dark, I know there's going to be light at the end of the tunnel.
Well, there it is. That's called a mic drop in my business. He is Matt Jeter, head football coach at Simpson College. You know what? Put him and his family in your prayers here for the next couple of months. And you know what? Everything is going to work out. Again, go look at Simpson College. And if you have some interest in playing Division III football, it looks like a beautiful campus, American Rivers Conference, and Matt Jeter would love to talk to you about maybe playing for him at that college. Hey, Coach, good luck the rest of the year, and I will be in touch.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
You bet. Yeah, this is Faith in the Zone on 1250 AM, The Fan.
You've been listening to Faith in the Zone with host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner. You can hear Faith in the Zone every Sunday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. To find past shows, exclusive podcasts, or to contribute with an inside tip on a guest, simply go to faithinthezone.com. Faith in the Zone is an inside look at people in sports and their walk in faith. Join us again next Sunday for Faith in the Zone, right here on 1250 a.m., The Fan.
'Cause I'm just a nobody, trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus.
When Moses had stage fright, and David brought a rock to a sword fight, you picked 12 outsiders nobody would have chosen, and you changed the world. Well, the moral of the story is everybody's got a purpose.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their Summer Splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.